This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
This is Tech Web. Cow.
Computers.
Technology.
Gadgets.
And other geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast
and
on Facebook, and check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on, tune in, drop on.
Welcome to episode 254 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 31st of August 2013. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Jody, Steve, Jacob, and myself, Andrew. And our special guest today is from only around the corner in Melbourne, Australia, Ben J. Bickford, who is the CEO of Bionic Corporation. How are you this morning, Brad?
Good afternoon, Andrew. I'm going pretty damn well, mate. And yourself?
Very well, buddy. Very well. The sun is shining in Melbourne. It has been all week, and we're just about ready for spring.
We are indeed, mate. And what have you been up to?
Just working hard this week. We're moving into a new office, actually, in the city, right in the middle of the city, Swanston. Nice. And Little Collins. So looking forward to that the next week or two. So, yeah, just working away.
I have a request, Andrew, when you do move into the new offices. I said to you this yesterday. Please buy a Mac.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, believe me.
You're looking at it. When you decide, take me and we'll go and buy some.
We'll go and get one organised. Sounds good.
all the way from the USA, Jody's on.
Hey, hi Brad. How you doing? Hi Andrew.
Hi Jody.
Hey Jody, welcome. Good to have you on.
Yeah,
as always.
Yeah, about that Mac, I can't wait until September 10th. That's like big announcement. So want to do anything right before September 10th.
Is that too long, Andrew? No, it's not, is it?
What's the announcement, Jody? I've totally missed this. Have we got new Macs coming out?
That's for the iPhone. Yep. The iPhone announcement.
Well, whatever, you know, it might be iPads, it might not be iPads. We're hearing all kinds of rumors. Like one day it's going to be a new iPhone, and then it's going to be two new iPhones, and whether there's a new iPad or not a new iPad, whether there's a new MacBook Pro or not. I mean, the truth will be told when they tell us.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed it will. And also Steve from Texas, USA. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, once you go Mac, you won't go back.
Exactly right, and that is so true.
You're already on the iPhone and iPads and so forth. I just got to change the desktop.
Exactly, and then you're all Apple geek person. Jacob from Florida, welcome, mate.
Thank you, Brian. How was your day today?
It's good, mate. You're a bit distorted. Move back from the mic, mate.
It's... Hold on.
That's perfect. Whatever you got there... That's perfect.
No,
what
happened?
Oi! You're just a bit distorted there, mate.
Sorry about that.
That's fine.
And the mic was over-modulating too.
I think it was, yeah. We got Ben on. Welcome, Ben, to the podcast.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you to all the team at Tech Podcast. It's great to be a part of this.
It's actually Tech Webcast.
Oh.
Tech Webcast, yep.
Take two.
Yeah, that's gone. That's cool. It's the Tech Podcast. That's another website you just plugged, but anyway.
Tech Podcast. We should change the name to Tech Podcast. That's cool.
Well, not really.
I like it.
My name as well.
No, let's not change it to that. Anything.
Tech Webcast.
Yeah, Tech Webcast.
Yes.
It's a good name. All right, Jody, we've got some news to talk about.
We absolutely have all kinds of news going on this week. So first of all, I mean, and I'm just going to do this in kind of like a random order, but sure. You know how there's been all of this fuss about Google Glass and, you know, whether Apple's going to be introducing a watch or not. Well, apparently this week, Google bought Android smartwatch maker Wim Labs. So GigaOm has reported that Google quietly acquired an Android smartwatch startup called Wim last year for an undisclosed sum in an effort to kickstart its risk computing efforts. Well, you know, Google's done such a great job with Google Glass. Apparently, this is something that they've been working on kind of behind the scenes. So we are looking forward to seeing exactly what they're going to come out with. The smartwatch race, as you know, is heated up. So there's Pebble's smartwatch, which started shipping in January. Sony introduced an Android-powered watch this summer. Samsung is expected to release its own smartwatch on September 4th, and there's countless rumors that Apple's working on their iWatch. You know, honestly, Ben, were you telling us that you just ordered a watch?
I did, yeah. I've got it. I haven't got it yet, but I'm eagerly anticipating it and salivating over this voice-activated and gesture-controlled watch.
But who's it by? What, it was a Kickstarter or something that you...
Yes. I'll have to just quickly confirm, but yeah, from memory, it was Kickstarter, and it was definitely one of those crowd-funded platforms where you essentially are prepaying and therefore funding the manufacturing as well as helping these people behind it see that there really is a market for their idea and their product.
You know, I absolutely love these Kickstarter-type apps because when you buy whatever the product is, you're not actually buying it. You're kind of like making a donation in hope that they'll actually fulfill it at some point. So it's kind of a leap of faith.
I agree. In fact, just to be fair, it's Indiegogo. So it's another one of the Kickstarter-like platforms. And Indiegogo, I've bought a couple of things off lately. That was one of them, the Kreos, which is K-R-E-Y-O-S. They describe it as the only smart watch with voice and gesture control. And the second thing I bought is something called the Hustler, which is like a wallet that sits around my iPhone, and it will recharge it up to 6 times a day from no battery left all the way up to fully charged without having to plug it back in.
That's very cool. How much?
Yeah, I saw those out there. Yeah, that looked neat.
So, yeah, the idea that you're donating, in a sense, to the concept, but at the same time getting the reward and benefit of that product or invention that someone very cleverly wants to bring to the world, I think that's fantastic as well.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Did anybody else have anything they wanted to add about the smartwatches?
I do, a little bit.
Go ahead, okay. Jacob.
Well, basically, I think it might be a good move because we very shortly people might be getting into it because a long time ago they said they were going to have smartwatches on these movies, so, and look what happened.
Good point.
And it showed up.
Good point.
We're all going to look like Dick Tracy.
Yeah. What? This is a question to Jacob. What movies did you? What movies were they on?
Well, like science fiction and stuff like that.
Okay. Nice. All right. Andrew, do you have a view on that story at all, mate? At all? Or?
Yeah, just around the smartwatches. The big question is which direction are we going to go in? I think wearables now are becoming more and more a case that they are going to be there. We are going to adopt. Smartwatches versus Google Glass, things like that. I don't know. I like the idea of a smartwatch, but I'm not entirely convinced that we're going to have that around our wrists in 5-10 years from now. Maybe it's just a stepping stone, but to me it doesn't... I don't quite get it.
Yeah. Well, if I could share a stat that's going to drive that in far quicker than that time frame, I believe, and that is that we check our mobile phones roughly about 150 times a day. So if you think of having to reach into your pocket, find the phone, pull it out, probably reorientate it probably half the time, and then take a look and go, no, I hadn't received a Twitter feed or a status update yet. But essentially that movement is far simpler and more streamlined with just a twist of the wrist, or in fact the gesture of saying update or mail. And that you can interact via your phone through this Kreos smartwatch through a gesture or a voice control. And that's where this is going to, I think, going to be hot potatoes.
Does the smartwatch actually feed you content and updates, or does it just actually feed you the notification that an update exists?
That's a good question. My understanding, I guess, that the focus on it is the way you interact with it, and voice activated indicates to me, and I haven't gone to that level of detail yet, that's how much I jump on these new tech things just because they're exciting and new. But my understanding is that you interact with the applications on the phone, so therefore you can get the value of without having to take your eyes away from the road when driving. You'll be able to, like with your iPhone and Siri or voice activation, get the services and the information you need just through the gesture or the voice activation.
And I think, Andrew, in all fairness, I think that that's kind of like an evolving question, because I think that some of the smart watch manufacturers are going to be putting out watches that interact with the phone. And I think others are probably going to take that leap, kind of like a Google Glass kind of thing, where the phone, the watch will be its own entity and does not necessarily have to integrate with anything else. So I think that that's still in evolution. I don't know that there's a definitive answer. I think there's several manufacturers that are vying for market share right now. We'll see what happens with that.
A question to Ben. What's your view on the new Moto X phone and Google Glass? Would you be buying a pair when it comes out in Australia?
Google Glass, I've already been involved in helping launch a unique application by a company in Melbourne that, and it's the only one in Australia I know of that's got dedicated development resources for Google Glass.
Nice.
And this group called Beta Cloud has developed an application that shows guitar tablature through the Google Glass. And at Mobile Monday back in July when they launched this, we had 180 people in the room, and Josh Guest, the CEO and co-founder, together with Luke Smorgon, they basically showcased this in a very engaging way. Josh was up on stage. We had it wired up from Google Glass back to the projector so that the rest of the room could see what Josh was looking at through Google Glass. And what he then got the audience to do was to clap, and that basically in unison, the audience clapping set the metronome of notes coming onto the screen, much like when you're playing Guitar Hero. And he then went and played Guitar Tab from those notes showing on Google Glass without having to look at sheet music. And this is revolutionary because really you don't need to learn, you know, the intricacies of notes on different parts of the fretboard of a guitar anymore. You can literally, through Google Glass, because of their world's first app that they call Google Glass Tab, you'll be able to just pick up a guitar, count the number of frets, and what you'll see in Google Glass will show you exactly where to put your finger, and to do that, you know, from scratch, which is absolutely mind-blowing. And we videoed that and put that up on the web as well.
Sweet. What about the Moto X phone? What's your view on that? Do you like that phone?
You know what? I tend not to get down to the specifics of tech. I guess I have a bit more of a bigger picture view.
Oh, okay.
I know when I caught up with Scobes, he's like, you know, he's right up there and loves it. And we did chat about it briefly.
Yeah.
My answer to you is I'd love to have a play with it and love to see where they're going with it. And they certainly led the way when it came to mobile phones with the Star Trek-like flip top. So if it has that, you know what? I could say to you that if it's nice and small, compact, and even if it's simpler and maybe a more functional phone, but still with that Star Trek-like feel, I reckon that's still going to be a winner out there for a good segment of the population, including me.
Good stuff. All right, Steve?
Oh, just what Jody said about watches not necessarily integrating with the phones. Of course, it'd be nice if they do as well. Because I just thought, you know, if the watch had built-in Wi-Fi, and then it automatically hooked to whatever network you're closest to, and you can get information directly to your watch from your email and things like that. So that would work quite well.
All right. Jay, next story, please.
Facebook is bringing lock screen music controls to home, animated stickers to all Android users.
Yes.
In a non-event this week, Facebook Android offering just got a little bit livelier through a pair of updates. And if you are one of the few who is enjoying Facebook Home, you now have music controls on the lock screen during playback.
Well, that's cool.
So, yeah.
Well, nobody really uses it.
I
haven't used it, but I will try it out. So I'll let you know next week. But the new stickers are pretty cool. You can actually get the ones that are moving and stuff. That's pretty fun. Jacob and I were talking, we were using them the other day. They were quite fun. Jacob, what do you reckon?
They're actually pretty nice. For a while, they were just stagnant and didn't move.
Yeah, the moving ones are pretty fun.
But
yeah,
other than the stickers moving, who's using Facebook Home?
That's
the thing. I mean, okay, cute, nice stickers. Does that make you use an app that's like really pathetic?
Oh wow!
I don't know.
If that was harsh,
Ben, what's your
wow?
Ben, what's your view on that story?
I thought that was very appropriately introduced as what was the phrase?
A non-event.
A non-event. Yeah, it lived up to the title. I thought.
All right. What about you?
Okay. Well, let's move along. In our next story, Kind of interesting update to Google Hangouts. They're now going HD, high definition. So according to Chi Chu, who's the man in charge of Hangouts, this update's going to be rolling out slowly. So if you haven't seen it yet, stay tuned. You might see it in the near future. One of the cool things that they did, which I think was brilliant, is that they've given you an opportunity with a slider to be able to either have it as HD or SD, because not everybody has the same high-speed connection. So that way, you won't get the distortion. Hangouts, obviously, is becoming a wonderful way for communicating, for teleconferencing, for broadcasting. And I think it's going to make a lot of Skype people kind of like decide, you know what, maybe this is a better Apple, a better mousetrap.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, have you guys seen the new HD format yet?
No, we haven't, but I know Dan McDermott has it, I think, and so does Craig Shipp. Jacob, what's your view on that? I know you know more about this. Go ahead.
Yes, and you forgot to mention, Jody, it might go plug-in-less.
Yeah, apparently you don't need to download a plug-in. Is that correct, Jacob?
Yeah, that I read up on it, and yeah.
What they're doing is over the next probably 6 months or so, they're looking to go plug-in-less. But the way that they're going to do this is by using WebRTC. The big problem with WebRTC at the moment is that Firefox is on board, just about everybody is on board, Chrome. The only problem is Internet Explorer are not on board. The reason is because they want to change the actual system that WebRTC uses. They want to change the foundation of it because it doesn't suit their Skype platform. Mm. So there's a big challenge with that at the moment. And once all of the browser networks are on board to use this particular WebRTC, which is basically mobile video chat without download, that's what the Hangouts are going to use. So they'll go plug-in-less at that point in time. But realistically, you know, we're still 3, 6 months, 12 months away from it.
Well, I can't wait for it. I can't wait for this when it comes in. HD, it's going to be good for the podcast and the other podcasts I do. Jacob, I know you're looking forward to it.
Yes, I am, because it'll clear it up and possibly make better audio and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think the HD audio is going to be fantastic. I can't wait to try it out. Steve, what's your view on this?
Well, obviously, you're going to probably get much better video, but I don't know if it's necessarily going to bring in better audio. Now it's going to be interesting to see, because I know Skype is currently using like the high bandwidth audio if like you're playing music or some kind of concert. You can get better audio, so I'm kind of interested to see if Google Plus Hangouts is going to do the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. All right, what about you, Ben?
Yeah, I'm all for it, and I mean, at the end of the day, we're investing, you know, tens of billions of dollars at getting a broadband network here, so why the hell not make it, you know, usable with HD Google Hangouts? I'm a big fan of it. We've been using Google Hangout now at Mobile Monday, and to do that Google Glass launch recently as well, and yeah, great stuff, I think. Like you were saying, I think the audio aspect's important too. Let's not forget that other sense, which adds to the experience as well.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. All right, Jody, next story.
Yeah, I just, you know, as an aside and kind of additional comment on that story, is that something that it just kind of blows my mind, but apparently this week Skype celebrated their 10 years of being in service. So, you know, whatever you say about Skype, I think it shows a lot of perseverance, even though they're not always perfect, as we well know.
Yeah, I know, yeah, definitely.
But just kind of like an interesting aside there. This was a story that Jacob suggested, and I thought it was a non-story, but it could be a story. Apparently, there is now an app that you can use to set up Chromecast on your iPhone or iPad. I know that when I set up my Chromecast, and I'm so excited because I did get one, and I got another one now, so I've got two. I didn't have this app available. I used my iPhone and my iPad, and it seemed to set up fine. But apparently, it's going to be a little bit easier for those of us who are using our iOS devices with Chromecast. The only thing is, after I uploaded this app, is that I noticed that there's only two applications, I guess you can say, that you can use, and one is Netflix.
Yes.
And I forget what the other one was, but
YouTube.
YouTube, thank you. Yeah. So it's very limited yet. I'm hopeful that Chromecast is going to have more viewing opportunities, more things to view. Yeah. I don't know if anybody has any thoughts about that story.
I have actually a view on that. Yeah, I reckon hopefully they will add some more stuff to it, which would be good. And Jacob just said to me the other day, Apple TV added some new apps to over there. Is that right, Jacob?
Yeah, they did.
So
they added two Disney channels, the Smithsonian, and that's about it for that I could use at the moment.
And Vivo, that music app.
That one was there for a while.
Was it
before? Yes.
Oh, interesting. All right, Andrew, do you have any thoughts on that story?
Not really. I think it's my father's actually been talking to me a whole lot about trying to get, you know, Netflix and with the Google and stuff like that. I think we're going to get more and more of that sort of happening. It'll be really interesting to watch how that affects the Australian landscape.
Let me tell you a story. Tell your dad you had a thing called VPN.
Yep.
You put that into your iPad or whatever you want to use, and then there, away you go, and download the app. There you go.
I mean, you can get VPNs. They're about $5 or $6 a month, but I mean, it's still questionable on the content. I mean, it's still a dishonest way of doing things, I guess. But it'll be really interesting to watch how this evolves, I think, in the coming months and years, and whether or not it affects the Australian landscape for content, and whether people like Foxtel have to actually change prices to suit.
I hope not. I don't want them to put the price up. It's already put it up already.
If anything, it'll come down, I think.
I'll come down, okay, yeah. That's good if they do bring it down. Steve, what about you?
I can see where such apps would be useful. Obviously, when you put it in the television, I guess normally it sets it up automatically, Jody?
Yeah, that's correct, yes. Yes.
Let me tell you what, it was so simple to set it up, it was ridiculous. I mean, really easy. Even my mom could do it, and she's 88, God bless her. So, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what the app's going to do, but...
the app's
only for setting it up from your iPad. That's all it is.
Yeah, you might be able to go in there and tweak the settings differently or give advanced setting options.
Yeah, it's the same thing as it's the same app as what you get on the Chrome browser, same app that you can download for the PC or the Mac.
Oh, okay.
Same thing, exactly the same thing.
Ben,
what about you? What's your view on Chromecast?
Some friends have managed to get theirs. I like the idea. I'm actually using Apple TV, and to be honest, I like the fact that I can use my Sonos and integrate with all of the media and the devices. So I think that's still got to play out for that bit of tech so that it's not just another thing you plug in, but it actually works with everything else.
Yeah, definitely.
On your TV and media and devices. But it's definitely nice to have choice, and, you know, hat tip to Google for putting that together. It's a hot bit of tech, I reckon,
Have you got Foxtel?
I don't have Foxtel, no. I'm an IP media, watch things online.
Have you tried out Foxtel Play yet?
Say that again?
Have you tried out Foxtel Play yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, you should check that out. It's good.
Okay, good stuff. I will.
Check it out, mate. All right, Jody, next story.
Well, there was a lot of hoopla this week over the fact that you can now finally put animated GIFs on Facebook. Well, yes and no. I mean, it's not exactly that you're putting animated GIFs on Facebook. It's using something called Giphy. That's G-I-P-H-Y, which is a search engine for GIFs, G-I-Fs. So it creates a code. You can put it on your Facebook stream. It's sort of like a GIF, but it isn't really, because we're spoiled because Google Plus does this so, so well, and Facebook still doesn't do it very well because you have to actually hit play like you're watching a video. So, you know, yeah, there's a lot of excitement about it, but guess what? It's just not so great.
Yeah, I agree. I think it sucks. Jacob, you already reckon it's a suck or what?
I say it sucks. Facebook needs to put it in themselves, not use a third-party service.
Yeah, I agree. Andrew?
It's one of the things that I most dislike about Google Plus is that when you get there, you've got three columns of crazy stuff happening, and it feels like Vine all over again. And if Facebook are going to go down that path, goodness, it's not. I do not like animated GIFs at all.
You can change the interface. You know, so you can have just one column instead of the multiple columns.
Yeah, but I just log in and use it, and I know that you can do that, but yeah, I don't like the idea of animated GIFs personally.
Mm. Some are okay. I don't mind it. Some are okay. I don't mind some. Some are right, but
that's not to say I don't get caught up when I see them, and that's funny, and that's funny. But it feels like trash TV.
You know what I like about it? To me, it's sort of the creatives in the world pushing back and saying, you've got your new Twitter tool, but you know what? We can still use these old images and splice them together and do something creative in, you know, you've got your 140 or 160 characters. We've got our GIFs, animated GIFs, and I think that's pretty creative, actually.
Yeah, for sure. Steve?
I like the cat ones.
the cat ones. Steve, what about you?
I'm not really a GIF person, I guess. I'm with Andrew, I guess, on this. But I guess it's good for Facebook, I guess, but kind of like Facebook Home.
Jake has been making these cool videos with this. What's that software called, Jake, that you've been using? What's that app called you've been using? Funny something. Crazy Talk.
Yeah, Crazy Talk Animator. Jody has it too.
Yeah, that's a fun app, isn't it? It's a good app.
Yeah, it is.
Well, he's got the app version. I've got the one where, remember we did that picture of Steve and we made a talk?
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, that was fun.
That's Crazy Talk, yeah.
Jacob did one of Zarfo, which is quite cool.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, next story.
Okay, one last story. You may have noticed it this week, but Twitter update Android, iOS, and the web with a new conversation view and also with some abuse reporting updates. But what I kind of like about this, when you go into Twitter and you want to have a conversation with somebody or respond to somebody, it does bring up like a little window, and now you're actually responding directly back to that person. Conversations are now shown with a blue vertical line between them. The first tweet in a conversation appears on the top chronologically. If there's more than two replies, you can click into the blue line to see all the replies in that conversation. Honestly, it's a pretty big update for Twitter. In my humble opinion, the downside is that Twitter's now starting to feel a little bit more like Facebook, maybe. And the irony of this is that, oh gosh, I want to say maybe 2 years ago, Facebook introduced a Twitter-like stream. So it just seems like everybody is kind of like melding together. Mm. I'm curious if you've seen it, what you think, and love it or hate it.
I've seen it, I love it, and I'm going to keep using it. Andrew, do you love it or hate it?
I haven't actually seen it. I've read about it, but I'm not a huge Twitter user. I need to get into it
yes,
more.
Yes, you do, Andrew. Now, what's going on, mate? Mm. Why aren't you not in Twitter?
Oh, look, I'm on there. I consume stuff on Twitter. I don't tweet that much, but I do like it. I love its simplicity. It's got a lot of, you know, benefit. I need to... I mean, I get in there when it's a Formula One race weekend and I have a look at all of the tweets from the teams and the people that matter and so forth, I don't sort of check my phone every 10 minutes to see if there's a tweet update.
Well, you should get into it more, mate, and get Safo involved and stuff.
Yeah, we've got an account on there. There's, you know... I do like Twitter. It's a good concept.
Mm, I agree. Ben, what about you?
Yeah, I love it. It's interesting. I'm a multimedia, transmedia vulture. And so for me, sometimes it's great to have that constraint of narrowing down your thoughts down to, you know, that 140, 160 characters. And then at the same time, you know, the best evolution of their technology was when they allowed you to include and embed the video or the visuals as well, so that, you know, there's this visual layer as well. And I just think it's incredibly powerful. Like, in relation to the elections going on at the moment, that's where people are, that extra channel of voice is now being added to TV, video, print, radio, and all the other existing channels. Twitter seems to be the one that's having, you know, the most representation and the fastest growth in terms of discussions around the politics and what's going on here in Australia.
Yep. All right, Steve, what about you?
Well, I know, like, Twitter's not the best medium to use for, like, conversations. You normally just want to post it out so your friends can see. But now, for the people that do use this, I could see maybe this new conversation view where they can do that a little bit more. So, I haven't actually seen or really used it myself, so I'd have to check it out.
Yeah, check it out, mate. Check it out and see. Let us know next week. Jake, what about you? What's your view on that, this?
The Twitter? Yeah, I use it a little bit, but not enough.
You don't use Twitter at all, or you use it a bit?
I use it moderately.
Well, let's not say that. Let's just say highly. You use it a lot.
Yeah, I try to. It's just... I try to, but there's nothing really good to tweet about from my end.
There's not?
Not much, but I mostly tweet about Tech Webcast and Tech Luster. And get some other videos out there. Mm. Some help.
Mm, definitely. All right, Jody, good story.
Good deal, and that's the news.
And Andrew, we have a guest on today, mate. From our part of the world, Melbourne?
That's correct. We have Ben Bickford on from Bionic Corporation from Melbourne, Australia, just around the corner, I believe, St. Kilda Way. So welcome to the show there, Ben.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Thanks to everyone on the team.
Yeah.
I guess to start with, give us a bit of an idea of what Bionic Corporation does, how long you've been doing that, and what you're doing in the very near future, I guess.
Okay, yeah, sure. Bionic was founded last century, so got a bit of history there. It was actually something that I saw as a vehicle to deliver what really is encapsulating my vision of things, but my abilities to help unlock innovation and connect that innovation and technology to empower people. And in that sense, the sort of solutions and strategy that I deliver is not only at the enterprise level, and I've certainly worked with a lot of big corporates around the world, but also communities as well, and that includes just community organisations that are in some cases not-for-profits, and it's a combination of my empowering vision, the facilitating of the ideas when people come together to solve problems, and then the underlying technology to enable that and to allow it to grow and scale. If I was to add a little bit more.
Go ahead. Talk away, Andrew.
The most relevant project that's on at the moment is something that, through my foundation and through my own investments in that, is directed towards making a difference in the area of politics. So with a background in terms of digital media, digital marketing, business intelligence and data analytics, I'm bringing together a deeper understanding of one particular electorate in Melbourne called Melbourne Ports, which happens to include Port Melbourne, South Melbourne, Middle Park, St Kilda, Elwood and Caulfield, and quite a sort of a cross-cultural, multicultural area of which I've just moved into in the last 6 weeks. And with that, it does also have a pretty good representation of international visitors. So in Melbourne, people are very familiar with the Luna Park as an image of St Kilda Beach and that hub of Melbourne along the coast there, very close to the city. And at the same time, the international tourists are very aware of it, together with the cultural food and that multicultural melting pot that St Kilda really is, such as the cakes and the foods of Ackland Street.
Yeah.
So it's quite an exciting and vibrant community. It's very diverse. And for me, there's this other interesting element too, which is that the community, since this electorate was founded in 1909, which is now 104 years ago, it's never actually changed hands to be in the hands of a different political party, as I understand it. And with that, it was also founded by agreement between the parties at the time to work out how they would share power. And I love the fact that rather than the starting point being adversarial like our modern politics, it actually started out with this collaboration between the different political parties. And for that reason, I've chosen to actually amplify the voice of the people in this particular electorate leading up to the Australian federal election on September the 7th.
That is very interesting.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go, Steve.
Oh, I was going to ask you, on the political realm, how would you use it for instance? I'm guessing you use lots of statistics in politics, especially for elections. You need the popular opinion from the public and all that. So how do you gather all this data, statistic data?
That's a good question. It took me 3 weeks to source the data in a format that I could use, and even then, what I've got it in is in the form of spreadsheets, and I had to spend several days manually manipulating and re-manipulating that data to get it into a form that I could start to extract some insights. But I would suggest that, you know, a tool as simple as a spreadsheet is actually a starting point. And then with that, I've looked for various what I'd call metrics. They're indicators, if you like, of elements that I think are going to be very influential in this community. And with that, I've delved into insights about the mix between males and females, between the languages that people speak, whether they're born within the electorate or from overseas, the level of education that they have, whether they actually made it up to high school or left earlier. And surprisingly, you know, I've got all these sorts of stats and insights that I don't think even, you know, in these modern day political campaigns that they take into account this information. And I'll share one other aspect of that. It's a combination of marrying the understanding of the people and the people in the electorate and their breakdown and their makeup and their particular nuances of that's represented through the census, if you like. And that's really where I've been able to get the public data. The other part of it in correlating it is the social media data. So the live feeds over a number of weeks, including up to and beyond the election, because I want to be able to see the changes and the impact that I can have through this vehicle that Bionic has invested in and setting up called, and it's actually available online now, called Election Choices. And Election Choices is a Facebook page, it's a Twitter page, or a Twitter handle, and it's also a web page that's just being set up over the weekend now, together with a platform to be a conduit for the voices of the people in the electorate of Melbourne Ports. Not through traditional media channels, which of course tend to represent from the people in power of politics back out to the citizens. What this is a platform to amplify, to discover, and to present that back to the politicians in this election, and then to allow them to have greater insight and be responsive, to be accountable, and to actually be responsible in terms of those issues that are being fed back through this channel, through social media, through a far more democratized channel for the voice of the people in an electorate, I believe, and beyond Australia too. I believe this has some very big implications both here in Australia and around the world beyond this election. So that's really what this group wants about.
You're making all of these findings. Basically, you're grabbing a whole bunch of metrics, putting them in a machine, churning them out, and then you're making all of these findings public through Election Choices and hoping that some of that information can then go back in and actually help drive politicians and hopefully policy to do the right thing based on information gone past. Is that sort of the direction?
Yeah, I think you summed it up pretty well, and probably the other aspect that describes the empowerment, because it's part of the underlying philosophy of Bionic. It's not that I have to use technology, but I guess the example is that social media is also making corporations accountable. If they're not delivering good service to the customers and even to people at the public, many people now are complaining back through their Twitter feed, or as an example, and getting a far quicker response from these corporations. So in that sense, whether it be Twitter or other tools, it's providing a much more equalized and equal playing field for people to have a voice right up to those very lofty heights of corporations and politicians and people in power.
But Ben, what are you trying to achieve from this? What are you personally trying to do, and what for you would be a successful outcome of this whole process?
That's a very good question. That comes back to the Bionic Foundation, actually. So to be able to answer that question, it's really a vision and a dream that I had back when I was 16, and it was about technology serving people, communities, and organizations, and in that order. So with that, there's a whole range of different solutions that I, on a daily basis, am involved in solving, and these are problems at an individual level, at a community level, and at an organizational level, and I use technology as well as the collaboration of people to help make that possible. So my mission is really to improve and make a difference in the world, and I do that at both a personal level, a community level, and I guess thinking globally, because that's the experience, and thankfully the very, you know, a very fortunate experience I've had working for US companies for more than 13 years and working on a global scale for half my life at this stage.
You seem to have really good network of people, obviously Australia, but also globally. Are you looking at actually expanding this? If you can create this program and show a positive outcome or show a case study in the ports, in the ports of Melbourne, are you actually looking to expand this into other electorates around Australia and possibly the world? Is that one of the ambitions of this platform?
It would be, and I wouldn't say it's just for my brand. I mean, I did meet up with the chief data scientist of the re-elect Obama campaign in Sydney 3 weeks ago, and it was very interesting having a chat with him before his keynote speech at the Australian Direct Marketing Association event. But I also, in hearing him and then having the chance to ask the first question after his keynote presentation, I actually celebrated him. And I celebrated him because he's taken a step that's inspired me, and I'm hoping to, in a similar vein, share, as you suggest, the case study and the impact that we're able to make when we actually get down to the data and we connect the voice of the people and amplify that through technology, because it's a combination of understanding, well, what are the bigger picture patterns that are available that we can learn about the electorate and what's going on and what they're speaking about right now, the pulse of the people, you might say, the pulse of the citizens. But then there's also that element that still has to be refined down, not in terms of every single conversation going right now, but how do we corral that to give a fair and equitable assessment of what are the key issues that need to be prioritised for that electorate? And then understanding that as a process, I certainly do have the ambition, if you want to use that word, to document, to capture, and to provide this as a case study for both future elections here in Melbourne and in Australia, but absolutely I see this as making an impact in the world. In the same way that when I heard the chief data scientist of the re-elect Obama campaign, when he spoke about things, it's actually reconnected and re-empowered the citizens in communities, and that's exactly what I'm being inspired to do as well. And in that sense, it's really about galvanising a much more integrated and connected democracy where everyone really truly does have a voice that's equal, it's equitable, and it can all be heard through this much more democratic media channel, I believe, through social media, than traditional forms of media.
Hey, Ben. Out of curiosity, you have a very altruistic viewpoint, and I'm curious what influenced you when you were young, because this isn't something that, you know, as a child, you wake up one day and say, you know what, I want to change the world. I'm just curious where this is coming from. Is this something, are your parents very politically active? Was there somebody in school? Yeah, share with us.
I probably have to reveal something very personal, but given I've shared a photo of myself this morning and where I'm handling this conversation from, inspired by John and Yoko Ono from their bed when they had a bed-in in Amsterdam many years ago, and that was a bed-in for peace. So in a similar way, I draw a lot of inspiration from not only the people around me and from the people that have influenced me, and most definitely family, but to be honest, a big part of it has been probably my learning about my family history. So I know, for instance, I actually know my family history more than 1,000 years, and my relatives of mine were involved with the Crusades. And while I have a broad range of faiths, religions, and all the sorts of stories that you can imagine in a history that touches that core of, I would say, adversity, the battles, the religious wars, and things that were divisive in really starting to polarize people, to polarize knowledge, polarize education. I see it as my choice as a meaning-making machine, as we are as humans, to choose my meaning in life. And for me, that's one word. It's unity. And that's what powers me. It's what empowers me to get up every day and to feel the joy of being able to connect people and to understand and to empathize. And in that, I just and expressing myself and wanting to live my life to my full potential. That's what drives me each and every day.
Beautiful stuff. Anybody else have any questions?
I do, actually. Ben, what was it like meeting Robert Scoble?
Yeah, really cool. He and I get on famously because one of the things that I've been passionate about for many years is personalization.
Yeah.
And so I relayed to him a story about how I got to ask Dr. Eric Schmidt, the CEO, well, former CEO, but he's still the chairman of Google at Mobile World Congress a couple of years ago. And my question to him was specifically around how is it that Google is able to lead the way in terms of making technology relevant and contextual to people, and yet the advertising industry and the media industry is trailing so far behind. What do you think it's going to take to help them get on board? And when I relayed that to Robert, he started to tell me about a book that he's working on.
Yes.
So in this particular book, he's going to launch in November, or actually a bit earlier than that, but there's a pre-launch, I believe, and I'm invited to the party in San Francisco, which is for his book called The Age of Context. And with that, we spoke about Google Glass, and I mentioned earlier that group called Beta Cloud that launched at Mobile Monday here in Melbourne, and thankfully was, you know, I was a part in helping them launch that and get that message out. So he and I certainly share a love of technology. We share a love of the application of that technology, and then in terms of that personalization connecting with him and his book, The Age of Context, we're both very much about technology empowering people. And so with that, we saw eye to eye, and I think it was about 3 hours later we decided we should call it a night. So that hopefully sums up how Robert and I see the world.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. Andrew got to meet him, but I haven't yet, but I'm going to meet him in November. So it's going to
I caught up with him up in Sydney the same time Ben actually caught up with him, and it was a whole lot of fun. And the book that Ben's talking about, The Age of Context, I've actually had the pleasure of reading a pre-version of that, and it's a really, really good read. So definitely out there. It's when that comes out, we'll certainly be telling you about that on the show, and we certainly recommend that you go and have a look at it because it will tell the future.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, definitely.
I'm probably a party to bringing Robert back down to Asia and hopefully Australia. So with an organisation I'm a director of called MLove, we're looking to run an event in Asia, in Singapore, in the third week of November, and then bringing him out to that region. Verbally, he's indicated he'll do an Asia launch. I'll work on Robert to come back down and have a chat with the Tech Webcast team and make sure that happens as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thanks for that, Ben. Appreciate that. That'd be good, mate. Yeah, he's a smart guy. I love what he does, and does good videos and stuff, and interviews some cool people. Jacob, what about you? What's your view on all this?
It's all right, but I'm not that political, so I was just listening.
Okay, that's fine. Steve?
Oh, you're talking about, what else do you do besides, I know you're talking about primarily the political scene. Do you do anything else for these companies besides something like that? Or
I could sum it up, but it sounds a little bit like I work around the clock and don't have a life. But to be honest, I find an amazing balance in my life. I mean, I could describe this week having met up with the community builders of the Deaf Children Foundation, just on Punt Road and High Street, and working towards exploring how augmented and visual virtual reality glasses will actually help signing and will be able to communicate in emergency circumstances back to people that are hearing impaired in an emergency situation. And this has implications not just here in Australia but around the world. A second particular application of that technology, working together with someone by the name of Scott O'Brien, who's from Sydney but at the forefront of augmented reality and virtual reality in the world. We're also talking to other big corporates in terms of how we can help them communicate and engage. And I literally had these glasses on this week that created this most spectacular dreamscape of a landscape and architecture that I've dreamt of since being a young child as well. So in terms of health issues, that's applicable in terms of people that have cancer and perhaps in remission but dealing with issues that they want to transcend, not with drugs, but with, transformative type experiences where not only it's relating to an environment, but potentially with other people with similar challenges and being able to relate in a more inspired space. So I've certainly been involved in those technologies as well. And lastly, it's the education part. That's what I'm also very passionate about. So I've had discussions last week with a gentleman by the name of Michael Woods. You might know him. He was one of the editors and wrote up a column in the MX paper previously in the past. He's doing some amazing things in terms of tech ed, and his educational platforms are now out in Australia. Their kids are using his games in the Royal Children's Hospital, and we're exploring a collaboration in terms of this technology-enabling education, where one of his platforms now is being used by 50,000 kids across Australia. And what he shared with me is a stat last week that blew my mind. Through just questionnaires and question and answers and multi-choice with a gamified type model, he told me that the average number of times that kids, or the average number of questions that kids are answering on his platform across those 50,000 people using it is 70,000 questions in a year. And with that, they're learning English, they're learning grammar, they're learning syntax. And this is where, again, we thread these types of capabilities back into the existing systems of education, of health, and even these fabulous, you know, charities and organizations like Deaf Children Australia, that they're trying to grapple with some of these challenges of just educating parents that have had a child that might be deaf, and typically the rest of the family, you know, it's only one child, and the rest of the family need to skill up and learn signing so that this augmented reality and virtual reality glasses combined with some sort of a gamified fun application can help accelerate that learning as well as provide guidance. And I'm sure Robert Scoble would be very interested in incorporating that and talking to these sorts of potential ideas as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, look, it's all really interesting to read and to hear you talk, Ben, about what you're doing and how Bionic can see a future with both, I guess, sort of a socialist people platform, but also how that actually comes into technology and how that comes into context to try and make, you know, our lives that little bit better and more, you know, useful, not so much useful, but more fulfilling in the future. So it's really interesting what you're sort of going about. I mean, we could probably talk for hours and hours about what you're saying. It's quite an open topic at the moment, and I think that no one really knows exactly where it's going, but we all sort of have an opinion on it, and I think that's a really good thing.
Mm.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, I'd be very happy to come back and even post the election,
yeah, sure,
have a bit more of a discussion about what the impact was, because I'm measuring it pre-event and during the event, because we're running a Vox community invitation to come and hear all of the candidates for Melbourne Ports on Tuesday night at the bowling green there from 6:30 for a start at 7 p.m. And that's where our say, O-U-R-S-A-Y, together with election choices will facilitate questions not only from the audience that turn up to that event in Melbourne Ports on Fitzroy Street at the bowling green clubhouse there, but they'll have the chance to speak to all of the electorate candidates. And again, unlike media, if you look at the way that the newspapers or radio represent things, you know, they tend to favour the people that have teams of media PR people and favour the teams that write up the press releases and that provide the content already in a video form or a written report ready to share. Whereas we're looking to do both the grassroots, which is literally this event next Tuesday, the 3rd of September, and bringing the community into it, but at the same time to broadcast this via Google Hangout, available on YouTube post the event, and people can then comment through what the platform that I'll be providing by next Tuesday, which is the Election Choices platform, for being able to talk about their issues, to vote on the things and to disagree with the things they disagree with. And this is really now what I think, you know, the opportunity for this next step, particularly and focused around the political process, because it's actually about people and it's actually about the citizens of our communities and our communities themselves. And I think these are some of the things that do need to start at the grassroots. And I'm very pleased to be a part of it, and I'm pleased to work with other people to make it possible. As I say, like Michael Woods from Media Saints, who's doing that tech ed and leading in that space. People like Our Say and the CEO of that AL, who I only met this Wednesday, but already from Friday afternoon, a conversation in the afternoon, we said, let's go for it, let's collaborate, let's do and host and facilitate the discussions between people in the room, the grassroots and the community that can make it, or that you know, are able to make it. And then we'll also provide the technology-enabled live webcast for those that can't be in the room, and the immediacy of still connecting and communicating and asking the questions, interacting with all of those candidates to make sure they hear the issues and the concerns of their community. And that way, I think that's when the best democracy happens. Everyone collaborating, everyone communicating for the best outcome.
For sure. Well said, Ben. Jacob, question to you, mate. Have you ever voted in your whole life?
Yes.
Oh, you have voted. Good on you, mate. What about you, Jody? Do you ever vote? When was the last time you voted?
Me?
Yeah.
Not only do I vote in every election. I also ran for office at one point.
Oh,
so.
Good on you. Well, good on you. That's fantastic. That's great.
Oh, wow.
That's good. What about you, Steve? What's your view on all this? Final thoughts and that sort of stuff, mate. Let's wrap up the podcast.
Okay. Yeah, it's great having you there, here, Ben, and telling us about how you're using innovation for various uses as far as political, which I've never actually thought of before, and of course, for hearing impaired and so forth. And you can find me on Twitter on as Cheddarbox_live.
Good stuff, mate. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Ollers and at Tech Webcast, Jacob, final thoughts and Twitter handle and whatever else you want to say.
Yeah, this was a good show. I found it very, very interesting. And thanks to Ben for being on. And you can follow me at JazzBot32669 1Z and TechLuster.
You say that very well. Jody, final thoughts and Twitter and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, first of all, Ben, thank you so much for coming on. I really think it's wonderful what you're doing to marry the world of tech with, you know, a political dream, so to speak. So kudos to you, and I look forward to seeing your name come up quite a bit more often and following what you're doing. With regard to where you can find me on Twitter as Sunswept, and most of the normal places you can find me is either Jody Raines or webmarcom.net, and also at A2SM, which stands for Addicted to Social Media.
And that's coming back very soon, Jody, the podcast.
Yeah.
Sweet.
We're just ready. We're poised and ready to go.
Do you listen to many podcasts, Jody?
Yeah. I listen to Tech Webcast and Tech Luster.
Well, that's you. You're on.
Is that what you were fishing for?
No, not really. But I'm just saying, what other podcast you listen to besides this one? You know, favorite podcast.
My favorite is Tech Webcast.
That's great. That's what I want to hear. Andrew from Safo, final thoughts and Twitter stuff, mate.
Yeah, just again, a big thank you to Ben for being on the show. It's really good to actually have somebody on the show with something different to say rather than just sort of plugging a latest device or a latest app or something.
Yeah.
Just something for our listeners to sort of have a bit of a think about, and how technology and the political platform can and do come together. So thanks so much for that, Ben. And I'd love for you to come up and visit us in our office in the city, and Brad, and we can have a bit of a coffee sometime, and it'd be great to have a bit of a chat and go through some other stuff, probably after the election. I can imagine you're pretty busy at the moment, but it'd be really good to have a coffee after then.
Likewise. Well, just extend to the team. Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me the chance to share a little bit more about my vision, and certainly in the biggest possible way. I guess I share this with people that are close to me. I've never really done this through a podcast, so thanks to the Tech Webcast team.
No problem.
And to Brad and Jody and Andrew and others that have asked the questions of me, thanks for bringing that out, because really I speak from the heart. And I'd have to just sum up by saying it's not so much about politics, it's really about people. So the solutions that Bionic Corporation and the Bionic Foundation are dedicated to are all customer-centric solutions. And that's really, as I mentioned, about empowering people, communities and organizations in that order. And therefore, at the heart of it all, I'm always open to working with people, and I'm always open to collaborating and connecting with people. And I think that's a privilege and a gift, and I'd be very happy to connect and collaborate with you guys again in future. So thank you.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to come back on, Ben, anytime you want, mate. And come back anytime. You can co-host and whatever.
So my Twitter handles, Bionic for my company, B-I-O-N-I-C. I literally have the Bionic handle, so you can refer to me as the Bionic Man in Australia, in Melbourne, Australia. My personal handle is at Ben Bickford, B-I-C-K-F-O-R-D. And then the other organizations I'm involved in being MLove, so at MLive, which is the organization itself. And last but not least, this actual platform for change through connecting people and their politicians and the people that will claim to represent them, that's known as Election Choices. So the handle being at Election Choices. And by all means, I welcome people even outside the electorate just to peek on in, have a look how the conversations go, and by all means, throw those questions in, challenge these politicians. We've all got a responsibility to be leaders to ourselves and each other. So I certainly invite you and others to play that part, not only in their own lives, but in the broader community sense as well.
Definitely. Good, well said, Ben. And you, as I said, you can come back anytime you want as a co-host or whatever and talk news and stuff and that sort of stuff.
Beautiful. Very happy to.
All right. I just want to say one last thing. Jacob, guess what?
You lost the game?
No, you did.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. Weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!